Shalom, welcome to Ask JTF. This is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to elevating the souls of Simcha Chasdai, Pesach Ben Dov, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, Harab Meir Kahana, and Yosef Ben Meir. Before we get to our many questions from our great JTFers, something happened recently that once again proves that this would be such a wonderful world, such a beautiful world, if only JTF were a mass movement, if only JTF had the resources and the budget to reach huge numbers of people. What a wonderful world this would be. What a new world that would create. JTF is the movement to support. And we're going to prove it to you. Let's see if you agree with me after we discuss this incident that occurred recently. And it's one out of many issues on which JTF has been proven right. I'm referring to what happened recently with Senator Ted Cruz of Texas. As you know, JTF, a long time ago already, I think a year and a half ago or something like that, we announced that we're supporting Senator Ted Cruz for president in 2016. And we announced that we're going to form a group called Jews for Cruz when the 2016 campaign begins. And we did videos, and we certainly intend to do that. And we even have a Jews for Cruz site that has quite a few followers on Twitter. Now, what happened with Ted Cruz, and why is this so significant in proving why JTF is so essential? Ted Cruz was invited to give a speech to a group called In Defense of Christians. There's this new group formed that was called In Defense of Christians, and Senator Ted Cruz figured that this is a group that's going to defend persecuted Christians in the Muslim world, in the Arab world. He thought that this is a group that defends persecuted Christians. And so he accepted this speaking date and went in front of this group. He didn't know that it was really a pseudo-Christian group of Jew haters and Israel haters. He didn't know that these are Arab so-called Christians who are anything but defenders of the rights of persecuted Christians in Muslim countries. Anyway, Cruz, as he always does when he speaks about the Middle East, and as he often does in almost all, in many of his speeches, I wouldn't say in almost all of his speeches, because some of his speeches are on different subjects, but in all of his speeches on foreign policy that I've heard, and in many of his speeches, he routinely brings up as one of his main issues his staunch support and fervent belief in Israel. So Cruz immediately in his speech started praising Israel. And he was loudly booed and heckled by the Nazi Jew haters in the audience. They started booing and heckling him. And they are Nazis, by the way, because they support the Muslim terrorist Nazis. That makes them Nazis. If you support Muslim terrorists, you're a Nazi. Because the Muslim terrorists want genocide against all non-Muslims. And so anyone who supports them or enables them is a Nazi. Now, Ted Cruz was booed by this audience. So how did he react? He vigorously defended Israel. He said, I'm going to stand with Israel, and if you're not going to stand with Israel, I'm leaving. And he left, and he walked off the stage. And he really showed how sincerely and strongly he believes as an evangelical Christian in the biblical command to support Israel and the Jewish people. And he has said in his speeches that he believes that this is a commandment in the Bible and that this is something that is very important to him. His father, you know, is a Christian pastor who takes other Christian pastors on tours of Israel. And so it runs in his family, this fervent Zionism, this fervent support for Israel, because God and the Bible command us to support Israel. Here's the statement that Ted Cruz issued. Listen very carefully to this statement. And when you hear this statement, you should be weeping. Weeping that Jewish leaders don't speak like this and react like this. Jewish leaders other than JTF. Here's what Ted Cruz said, and I quote, I told the attendees that those who hate Israel also hate America. that those who hate Jews also hate Christians. These statements were met with angry boos. ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Hamas, and Hezbollah, along with their state sponsors in Syria and Iran, are all part of the same cancer, murdering Christians and Jews alike, unquote. Okay, great statement. And then Cruz concludes by saying, and I quote, "Anti-Semitism is a corrosive evil and it reared its ugly head tonight. After a few minutes, I had no choice. I told them that if you will not stand with Israel, if you will not stand with the Jews, then I will not stand with you. And then I walked off the stage," unquote. What a brave, noble, principled, righteous human being Ted Cruz is. Can you imagine what a blessing it would be for America if this individual were in the Oval Office, were president of the United States, instead of that Islamic Jew-hating serpent that we have now, Barack Hussein Obama, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro? And notice in his statement, Ted Cruz equates booing Israel with anti-Semitism and evil. He says that booing Israel is anti-Semitism and it's evil. Did you ever hear Jewish leaders say that if you boo Israel, you're anti-Semitic and you're evil? No! The Anti-Defamation League, which is an anti-Semitic organization, and AIPAC, they say, no, if you criticize Israel, that doesn't mean you're anti-Semitic. We're not saying that. That's okay if you boo Israel. We're not saying you're anti-Semitic just because you boo Israel. And that is, by the way, how the ADL and AIPAC speak. Jewish leaders don't say this. Rabbis, generally speaking, don't say this. And here we have a non-Jew, a Christian, a senator from Texas who's planning to run for president, and he's making statements that are more pro-Israel than the Jews, that are more pro-Israel than the people who are supposed to be defending Israel, than the people whose necks are on the line. Israeli leaders don't say what Ted Cruz said. Now I ask you, was JTF right about Ted Cruz? Wouldn't it be wonderful if finally we had Jewish leaders from JTF who were the spokesmen on issues like Israel, who could get up and applaud Ted Cruz immediately and say, this is a wonderful leader and this is who we should be supporting for president. And this is someone that Jews and righteous Gentiles and Christians and everybody should be supporting. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had an organization like JTF that's been right from the start on issue after issue? If JTF were representing Jews, wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't this be a great world if we were a mass movement? But we're not. But we're not. Instead, Jews give hundreds of millions of dollars, even billions of dollars, to the most evil causes. And you know, the claim that Jews are cheap is a lie. It really is a lie. Jews, unfortunately, are the most generous givers in the world. And in this generation, I say unfortunately. I say unfortunately because the causes that Jews give to are overwhelmingly bad causes. But no one gives more money to charity and to other groups than Jews. Unfortunately, the so-called charitable groups that Jews give to are evil. But Jews are the most generous givers. If only we were there to tell the Jewish people the truth and to show the world, to show the righteous Gentiles how real Jews speak and how real Jews act. This would be such a different world, a much better world. You would be so proud of us. All of you JTFers out there, and a lot of you would be speaking for us too. You'd be so proud of us. It would be such a pleasure waking up every morning and seeing how JTF reacts to events. Let us hope and pray that that day comes. Let us hope and pray that the new news sites that Shlomo is now working on setting up will bring us people so that we'll be able to create this movement. And by the way, we came close again. We came close to becoming a mass movement until Facebook took our page down. We had 27,000 Israeli Jewish members in a country the size of Israel, 27,000 members in just 3 months. We proved that we can become a mass movement if we just have some resources, if we're just given a chance. So let's hope that that still can happen with our with the new news. We're going to have new daily news pages that we're setting up in English and in Hebrew. One in English, one in Hebrew. On our website, not on Facebook, not on Facebook, not on YouTube, not on any of these other sites. On our own server, on our own website, we're setting up a Hebrew news page and an English news page. And we hope to have daily updates and people will be able to make posts there without even signing in. So hopefully that'll attract people because, you know, we get a lot of visitors on our forums. We get a lot of visitors and sometimes they're reluctant to sign in. I don't know why. But a lot of people are curious. A lot of people read what we have on our forums. A lot of people go to our videos. A lot of people went to our Facebook pages. But it's human nature that most people, when there's something new and interesting, most people don't actually sign up. That's just human nature, unfortunately. Only a minority of people actually bother to sign up or bother to do anything about it, and that's very unfortunate. Because if you see something good, if you see a good organization or a good movement, you're commanded to support it. You're commanded to get involved. You're not allowed to be apathetic and indifferent. But in any event, we hope to encourage a lot of the people that visit our forums and a lot of the people that visit our Facebook pages and visit our videos on our hundreds of YouTube accounts. We're hoping that when they see that they can make comments and they'll be able to make comments and hopefully they'll be able to vote in our polls anonymously if they wish, that will get them involved. Then they'll want to make comments and then they'll be interested. Now, they're going to have to put some name when they sign in. They're not going to have to sign in and register as members, but they got to put some name there and then make a comment. They could put any name they want, though. They could put different names different times, or they could use the same name all the time. But they don't have to sign in officially as a member in order to do it. That's how we're going to set it up, and hopefully that will attract people, and once they get used to participating and getting involved in voting in polls, hopefully that will interest them and this will become a dynamic, exciting place to go. It'll be an alternative to the Nazis of Facebook. The Nazis, you heard me say it right, the Nazis of Facebook and YouTube. Why do I call them Nazis? Because they remove the pages of good Jews and support Muslim terrorists, mass murderers who want to commit genocide. That's Nazism. Now, I avoided speaking like this when we were hoping to keep our big Facebook page because I didn't want Facebook to take us down. Now that we don't care about Facebook, screw them. Now that we don't care about them, I can say what I want to say. You know, you have someone called Rabbi Yosef Mizrahi, Rabbi Yossi Mizrahi. And he's not a Kahanist. He's just a rabbi. A good rabbi who speaks about Torah issues and Jewish issues. And he had a Facebook page where he spoke about Judaism. And it was English and Hebrew, so it wasn't only Israeli Jews, so he actually got 49,000 likes. By the way, we would have had much more than 27,000 if we were combined English and Hebrew on the page, but we wanted this to be for Israeli Jews. Anyway, we have learned that it's better to separate the English and the Hebrew movements. And the reason it's better is because it's confusing and it's just a mess when you have one post in English and one post in Hebrew, one article in English and one... It's just a mess. That's why we have an English forum, we have a Hebrew forum, we have English. We're going to have an English news page and a Hebrew news page. It's better that way. It's not confusing. People can be comfortable in their own language and read it. If there are people who don't speak Hebrew who want to see what we're saying on the Hebrew page, they can easily get it translated nowadays. So that's not a problem. If they really want to get it translated, they can get it translated. And most of the things we say on the two page, most of the things we're going to be saying, a lot of the things we're going to be saying are the same subjects. But anyway, he had both. He mixes his English and his Hebrew videos and everything else. So he had 49,000, and it took him years to get this. He had 49,000 likes on his page. And he was speaking about Torah Jewish subjects. Then he commented on the Jewish trader woman, Yimach Shma v'zechra Hashem Rashaim Yirkav in Israel, who converted to Islam so that she could marry an Arab Muslim terrorist. She converted to Islam and married an Arab Muslim. And she was very proud of it, and they invited, and her parents and her family, they invited people all over to the wedding, a Muslim wedding, conducted by Muslim Jew-hating imams. And her family were very proud that she was doing this. They had, not her father, was against it, but she had other people in her family who thought there was nothing wrong with it, and she was very proud of what she was doing, even though her father came out against it. In any event, Rabbi Mizrahi criticized, and it was mild, he mildly criticized and said that you're not allowed to do this, you're not allowed to convert to Islam and marry outside the Jewish faith and marry Muslims, you're not allowed to do this. All the leftist, self-hating Jewish anti-Semitic scum, the Jewish left in Israel are the same scum that you have on the Jewish left in America and everywhere else. Erev Rav, self-hating scum, the worst enemies of the Jewish people. All the self-hating scum of Tel Aviv, all the leftist scum, came on his page and said, "You racist, how dare you, you Nazi. There's nothing wrong with this. It's good that Jews convert to Islam and intermarry. This will bring peace. This is wonderful." All the self-hating Jews came on and said, "You as a rabbi should be blessing the new couple." By the way, the president of Israel, Rubi Rivlin, Yimach Shmo V'zichro, he did bless the new couple. He blessed this woman that converted to Islam and married a Muslim. He thought it was a blessed deed. He blessed her. He said, "No, what's wrong with this?" He didn't see anything wrong with it. He blessed the new couple. That's the president of Israel, from the Likud. From the Likud, for those of you who support the Likud, the phony right in Israel, and think the phony right is better than the left. Anyway, they took down Rabbi Mizrahi's page, Facebook, because the leftists came on, they started cursing at him and saying nasty. By the way, all the leftists who came on cursing at him and supporting the Muslims and supporting the Muslim terrorists, none of their pages are ever taken down on Facebook. They can do anything they want. Because look at the founder of Facebook. Look. The founder of Facebook, Zuckerberg, Yimach Shmo V'zichro, he intermarried. He's a self-hating Jew. He's a vicious Jewish anti-Semite. Yimach Shmo V'zichro, Shem Reshaim Birkav. And so they took down Rabbi Mizrahi's page because he's against a Jewish woman converting to Islam. He said, "You're not allowed to do this." As a rabbi, he said, "You're not allowed to do this." Oh, no, that you can't say on Facebook. You can't say that a Jewish woman shouldn't convert to Islam and marry an Arab Muslim. That you're not allowed to say on Facebook. If you're a Hezbollah terrorist or a Hamas terrorist, then you can have a Facebook page. They have pages on Facebook. That's okay. They have pages on Facebook openly calling for the destruction of Israel. Openly calling for Israel's destruction, showing maps of all of Israel in the Hamas colors of green with the Hamas terrorist slogans. They have numerous pages on Facebook showing all of that. Those pages are never touched. They had a page on Facebook saying death to the Jews. And when Jews complained about the page, a Muslim put up a page saying death to the Jews. When Jews complained about the page, Facebook sent them back a message saying this does not violate Facebook's community standards. But Rabbi Mizrahi saying that a Jew shouldn't convert to Islam, that violates Facebook's community standards, because Jews converting to Islam, that's good. That's what Facebook is. And they have over 1.5 billion members. This is the generation we live in. So we want an alternative to Facebook. We want news pages that are alternative. Don't you wish JTF were a big movement to give an answer to these filthy, scummy dogs once and for all? Facebook, YouTube. YouTube is also, YouTube and Google, also self-hating Jews. The worst self-hating Jewish filth. Don't you wish JTF were a mass movement so finally someone would stand up to these filthy, scummy dogs? You make us a mass movement, and we will stand up for what's right. For a change. No one else is doing it. No one else, and no one else will. Now, I hope that this latest incident with Ted Cruz and everything with Facebook, I hope this proves to you how important it is that JTF succeed. We've proven that we can succeed if given a chance. So help give us that chance. Help give us that chance. I want to say one other thing before we get to... And by the way, as far as our new news, the news sites that Shlomo's working on, I told you it was going to take several weeks, and the reason it takes several weeks is because it's a lot of new software, and we got to learn a lot of new things. It's not easy. I mean, believe me, it's complicated. We only have one person on staff. That's Shlomo. JTF only has one person on staff. And Shlomo works relentlessly on this. He's brilliant, but this is not his area, and he's learning all this new stuff. People go to school and learn these things. They learn how to do programming like this. And believe me, it's very complicated. The programming for some of these software programs have 10,000 page books that you have to read. People sometimes go to school, take a whole year or two courses for a whole year or two just to learn how to put up these sites. People take courses. When you want to be a computer programmer, you got to go to school and learn and spend a year or two in school learning this just to be able to put up a site like this. Shlomo is learning it in several weeks, God willing. We hope to have it up before Rosh Hashanah, before the Jewish holiday, which is coming in about a week and a half. We hope to have it up by then. And then it's only going to be a start. You're just going to see the start because we're not going to do advertising until after the holidays, but we hope to have an advertising campaign also to promote this. And this time, we won't have Facebook and YouTube taking us down. This time, we could say what we want. Of course, we're not going to break any laws. It has to be law-abiding. And we want to keep it clean. We don't want any obscenities, and we want it to be law-abiding. But if someone wants to say things that are true and politically incorrect, on our site, you're not going to be taken down for that. What a pleasure that will be. But you'll just see, what you're going to see is you're going to see the start of our putting this together and how it's going to look, and you're going to be able to contribute things. Once the holidays are over, then we're going to think about an advertising strategy, God willing, so that we can get, hopefully, thousands of people involved with us. Anyway, that's obviously a very exciting endeavor, and you see how important it is that we get that. I mean, it's so essential. It's so essential that we have this. By the way, on Thursday, Scotland is going to be voting on the independence referendum that we spoke about on last week's JTF, and I did a long video. I did a video in which I, for 13 minutes, I explained to the Scottish people why I think it's in their best interests to vote for an independent Scotland. I do think it's in the best interest of the Scottish people. And Irish Zionist was good enough to record parts of the Ask JTF program. He did a separate video explaining why it's good for the Jewish people if Scotland votes for independence. So let's hope that that happens. That's another reason why JTF should be a mass movement. When the Jewish people have enemies that have done terrible things to terrible things to our brothers and sisters, JTF wants revenge. JTF doesn't forget. We don't forget. We will never forgive and never forget how England closed the doors to 6 million Jewish men, women, and children who were murdered during the Holocaust. They closed the doors to the land of Israel. The Jews could have escaped and could have been saved. And Britain deliberately, maliciously, murderously closed the doors to the land of Israel so that the 6 million Jews would be murdered. They wanted them to be murdered. We will never forgive and never forget. And to this day, Britain is viciously anti-Israel and doing everything they can to create another Holocaust against the Jews in Israel, against another 6 million Jews, this time 6 million Israeli Jews. So they certainly deserve to have Scotland. I mean, you know, they deserve to have Scotland independent, and you know, the hypocrisy of the British. They had an empire that stretched all over the globe, and then they say Israel can't even keep her own homeland, that Israel, they won't even recognize Israel's capital of Jerusalem. Can you imagine this? Meanwhile, they had an empire. They thought they had a right to control countries in all four corners of the earth. The hypocrisy of these Jew haters knows no bounds. The double standard, the hypocrisy, the evil injustice. Before they lecture Israel, let them get the hell out of Scotland and Wales and Northern Ireland. Filthy Jew-hating hypocrites. Anyway, let's hope that Scotland votes for independence. I don't know if they will. I think the odds are probably slightly against, because the British-controlled news media has been brainwashing the Scottish people and giving them scare stories. And, you know, sometimes scare tactics work. I hope it doesn't, but sometimes they do. So I don't know if they're going to vote for independence in the end. The polls are close, but most of the polls seem to show that the no to independence, that they have a slight lead. So who knows? God willing, let's hope the Scottish people do vote for independence. It would be a big blow to the New World Order. It would be a big blow to the UN. The UN has gotten involved, and they're threatening the Scottish people and the banks and all the other big business people. You know, they threaten the Scottish people. And it's all baloney. All their threats are empty threats and are baloney and are just scare tactics. But who knows? You know, sometimes people fall for this. So we'll see. Let's hope, God willing, that despite the polls showing the no, the people that are in favor of no, that are going to vote no, the people that are opposed to independence seem to have a slight lead. Now let's hope that's wrong, and let's hope that the yes people, the people that want yes, that want independence, win. And the reason we're involved with that issue, again, we're involved with every issue that, first of all, involves Jewish survival in Israel, and it's important for Israel and the Jewish people that England be taught a lesson after what they did to the Jewish people. And it's also important, it's also good for Israel and the Jewish people when you don't have all countries coming together and becoming one huge country, because that's setting up the stage for Gog and Magog, and when all these countries unite and become one huge country, what's the first country they go after? It's Israel. So we would prefer countries to assert their independence and their sovereignty and be proud of their national identity. That's better. That's better for them, and it's better for us, rather than have everybody come together and become one new world order, one big world UN control body. When you have nations asserting their sovereignty and asserting their national identity, it's harder to create a new world order and some big UN world community, quote unquote. Help us. Help us, because this would be a better world if we were a mass movement. And if we were reaching large numbers of Israeli Jews, Israel would be better and stronger, and this would be a better world. Help us to wake people up. How do you help? Well, first of all, we need your prayers. Please pray for our success. This is a critical time for us. Please pray for our success. Second, when we put up videos in Hebrew or in English, please promote those videos. Like, favorite, comment on Facebook, and, you know, we still have a couple of new accounts on Facebook. You know, we'll put up new accounts when they take down our accounts. We'll just put up new ones. But we're not going to begin the big advertising and big campaign we began before, even though, by the way, that advertising campaign was not a waste, in the sense that large numbers of Israeli Jews now know about us that didn't know about us. That's something that's good. We educated a lot of people. So that was actually quite good. And hopefully a lot of those people will come to our news site and will want to be active on our news site, hopefully, God willing. In any event, when you see us putting up videos in Hebrew or in English, please promote them on Facebook and on YouTube. Also, we need good posts and good threads on our forum to attract people. And when we do put up the news sites, please respond to the articles we put up and respond to the videos we put up, whatever we put up there, please respond and be active and participate. And do it with good, smart posts that are going to attract people. That's what we need. We need your help with that. And finally, of course, our biggest downfall is our lack of funding. Every check, every money order, every cash donation makes a huge difference. And it will help us in what we're planning to do now with this new news, with these new news pages. We need your help. That could make all the difference for us. That could make all the difference for us. You proved already how successful we could be on Facebook, and we're going to, God willing, now we're going to prove it with a site that they can't take down. That's going to be our site. So checks, money orders, cash donations sent through the regular mail to our post office box, it makes a big difference. It makes a big difference. God bless the wonderful JTFers who are supporting us. God bless you. And God bless the wonderful JTFers who, instead of sending it through the regular mail, some people prefer to do it with their credit card online. They go to the donate button on our current Hebrew main page. Our current Hebrew main page has a donate button in English on top. You just go to the hayamin.org is our Hebrew main page, and there's a donate button on top. You click on the donate button, and in several minutes you can very conveniently online contribute to us with your credit card. Some people prefer to do it with their credit card online. Some people prefer to do it by sending it through the regular mail. Makes no difference to us. God bless the great JTFers that are helping us. God bless you. It really does make a difference. So, we got important events coming up and important things that we're going to be doing. This is going to be a time when, of course, we're facing the great challenges that Israel faces. And so we hope to influence events in Israel. And it's going to be an important time for the English page, because we're going to be pushing for Ted Cruz's candidacy, and I think our JTFers see now. I think you'll see now just how right we are about Ted Cruz and how important it is that we support his candidacy and that we influence what happens in 2016 as much as we can. Great. So I'm of course, if you hear in my voice that I'm excited and that I'm looking forward to this, you're right. I am. Let's hope, God willing, that it succeeds. And you know, I hope to have good news in terms of putting up the sites, and you'll see the sites hopefully before Rosh Hashanah, hopefully before the Jewish New Year. I can't promise that, though. I can't promise that. I'm hoping, God willing, but if we can't, then, you know, maybe it'll be sometime slightly after that, but we're going to try our best to get it out before the Jewish New Year. All right, let's now go to our questions. And I'm sorry I took up so much time now with the opening. It's just that I just felt that these are subjects that should be addressed. I think that they're important subjects. Let's go now to the questions from our great JTFers. And we start out with our great friend Smash Islam, who writes, and I quote, "David Duke is definitely transsexual. His face, voice, physical appearance and behavior are feminine. Is this the reason why he supports Iran, which has the second largest number of sex reassignment surgeries after Thailand? It would be logical for transgender persons like him to support a nation so tolerant towards his kind. Do you think he and Ahmadinejad initiated Muta in Iran? If so, how long do you think it lasted? Who was dominant and what was the dowry price?" Unquote. Oh, I would love to see David Duke hear this. Yimach shmo v'zichro. I happen to agree with you. I happen to think that he does come across as feminine. I happen to think he does. But anyway, you're so right, Smash Islam. And you're also right about Iran. That Iran is the number... Oh, you're saying it's the second largest after Thailand. Okay, I thought it was the largest. Okay, so you're correcting me. It's actually the second largest country in the world that has sex change operations. Sex reassignment surgery is sex change operations, where men become women and women are, you know, have surgery to try to become men. Yeah, that's the big Muslim country, Iran. The mullahs, by the way, and the Ayatollahs think there's nothing wrong with that. They think that's perfectly okay. What a sick religion, what a sick culture. And David Duke, he supports it for only one reason, because he hates the Jews so much that he will destroy America, he'll destroy the whole world. He'll have the whole world become Islamic. He doesn't care, as long as he can get at the Jews. He's so obsessed with hating the Jews. Same thing with Pat Buchanan. Pat Buchanan supports Iran because he hates the Jews. Just because he hates the Jews. Thank you, Smash Islam. And we now go to our great friend, Wandering Samurai 81, who writes, and I quote, "Dear Chaim, what is your opinion on cockfighting? It's basically two roosters fighting each other," unquote. Oh, I'm completely against it. I'm completely against it. There's a concept in Judaism called Sa'ar Ba'alei Chaim, which means causing sorrow to animals. God created these animals, and they're beautiful creatures. You know, a bird is the perfect plane. Man can never create a plane. The most sophisticated plane will never have the perfection of a bird. Just of a small bird. The perfection, the incredible, exquisite beauty of this creation. Now, roosters are not really flying birds, but they're creatures that God created. And we're not allowed to see them abused and tormented and goad them on to kill each other and cause each other pain. That's a terrible thing to do. That's terrible. God does allow us to eat animals if they're slaughtered humanely. They have to be slaughtered humanely. In other words, they have to be quickly killed, very, very fast, so they feel very little pain, and it's very fast. So he does allow us to do that, and even that is controversial because, you know, before Noah, people didn't eat animals. People were vegetarian. It was forbidden to eat animals. It was forbidden to murder animals, to kill animals in order to eat them. But now we're allowed to eat them. In the future, there's a debate among the rabbis as to whether or not that's going to be permitted. When the Mashiach comes and the Messiah comes, whether or not we're going to have animals or being eaten, or whether we're going to eventually become vegetarian. There are questions about that. Harav Kook, for instance, and his son Harav Tzvi Yehuda often discuss that issue. And there are others that raise that issue. Of course, we're going to have sacrifices at Beit HaMikdash, at the Holy Temple, but will the sacrifices continue to be animal sacrifices, or will they eventually be something else? That's another issue which is debated. Harambam, Maimonides, believes that we're going to continue forever to have animal sacrifices, and that God will give a good place to these animals and be kind to these animals that are sacrificed. Other commentators say no, that's going to be replaced with different types of sacrifices eventually. Whatever. The answer is, though, that certainly just to kill animals for purposes of entertainment and to allow animals to suffer like this unnecessarily, that certainly is not permitted. Thank you, Wandering Samurai. And we now go to our great friend Joe Gutfeld, who writes, and I quote, "Shalom Chaim, what do you expect when the Muslim gives his speech on ISIS on Wednesday? Thanks," unquote. Okay, Joe wrote this on September 8th, before Barack Hussein Obama, the Muslim Jew hater, gave his speech. You know, Obama, everything Obama says is phony and fake. And ISIS is not the main problem. The main problem is Iran building nuclear bombs. ISIS is not the main enemy. And this is a diversion from the most serious threat, which is Iranian nuclear bomb making. So this whole thing is very dangerous. Very dangerous. And Obama, of course, wants to protect his Muslim brothers in Iran. And so he's happy to divert attention to ISIS. Anyway, thank you, Joe. And we now go to the great Binyamin Yisrael, who writes, and I quote, "One, what do you think of Atlantic City, New Jersey?" Unquote. "I don't like Atlantic City because of the gambling. I'm against gambling. gambling is against the Torah. It's a very bad, negative, and sinful vice, and a destructive vice. And I've seen the destructive effects on people who are compulsive gamblers. You know, millions of Americans are compulsive gamblers, are addicted to gambling. And it has destroyed their lives. It's literally destroyed their lives. It is a destructive, decadent vice, and it's bad. Benjamin now writes, too, do you like that casinos are closing, unquote? Yes, I'd like to see all the casinos close. I am happy that they're closing. The reason they're closing is because of the internet, not because people are gambling less, but because of the internet. Because people can gamble online now. And people don't go to physical places. They don't go to brick and mortar stores anymore. They don't leave the house anymore because of the internet. But the fact that it's hurting the casinos, I'm glad that it's hurting the casinos. I just wish people would stop gambling in every venue. Benjamin now writes, three, comment on the Republican quote-unquote homo mayor wanting to replace Atlantic City's focus on casinos with a new focus on gay tourism, unquote. Yeah, they elected a mayor. I don't remember what his name is, but they elected last year Atlantic City elected an open homosexual who lives with another man. I forgot what they call it, domestic partner. It's his domestic partner. I don't know if they're married or domestic partners. Just so absurd. The whole thing is so absurd and disgusting. But anyway, and he calls himself a Republican. In New Jersey, you could be a Republican and support something that the Bible says is an abomination. There's no problem with that. These phony Republicans like Chris Christie, you know, these phony Republicans, they are just absolutely horrific, absolutely terrible. This guy now wants to turn Atlantic City into a place for gay tourism. Oh boy. When are we going to have people who speak for us? For us! Who? And when I say us, who am I referring to? I'm referring to moral people. People who believe in God, people who believe in the Bible, people who believe in morality, decency. Who's going to speak for us? I think Ted Cruz speaks for us. That's why we support Ted Cruz. I wish we had Jewish organizations that spoke for us, but we don't. That's why JTF has to become a mass movement. Thank you, Benjamin. And we now go to another great friend of ours, Chicago Jew, who writes, and I quote, I'm sorry, Chaim, we need to disagree. I'm against Scotland breaking away from England. It's no better than Palestine breaking away from Israel, unquote. Chicago Jew, I'm surprised that you're making that comparison. There is no Palestine. But there is a Scotland. Scotland has existed as an independent country for 1,000 years before England occupied the country illegally 300 years ago. And the same British that illegally occupy Scotland then tell Israel you can't even build houses for Jews in your own capital of Jerusalem. I think the British shouldn't be allowed to build houses for the English in London. That's what the Prime Minister of Israel should say to them. Stop building in London. London doesn't belong to you. London is not your capital. I mean, the hypocrisy of these people. Meanwhile, they're occupying Scotland and Wales and Northern Ireland and they occupied a third of the world at one time, the British Empire. 6 million Jews were murdered because of England's policies during the Holocaust, Chicago Jew. So I'm surprised that you're taking this stand. They deserve to have Scotland break away from them. They deserve everything they have coming to them. And Scotland deserves to be independent. Thank you, Chicago Jew. And we now go to our great friend Kalman Ben Menachem, who writes, and I quote, Reb Chaim, what is your position on the term Judeo-Christian? Thank you, unquote. I'm not comfortable with that term because even though we have our Christian friends and we work together with Christians and we have Christian JTFers and we love our righteous Gentile members in JTF and we love righteous Gentiles like Ted Cruz and Mike Huckabee We love them. But there are differences between Judaism and Christianity. To pretend there are no differences, I think, is a mistake. I think it's a mistake to do that. I don't think there's a need for us to blur the differences. It doesn't mean we should be fighting over the differences, that we should be fighting with each other. We shouldn't be. We shouldn't be. In Judaism, you don't have to be a Jew to have a place in the next world if you're a Gentile. And if you're a Gentile, you do not have to become a Jew, and you do not have to convert, and you do not have to believe in Judaism, as long as you're a righteous Gentile. But, of course, if a Jew accepts a different religion, that's a different story. If a Jew converts to a different religion, then he's going to be severely punished. A Jew is not allowed to do that. But the problem I have with the term Judeo-Christian is it creates a false impression that there aren't some differences between the religions, and there are, and there's nothing wrong with the fact that we work together, even though we have religious differences, but there are very clear religious differences. Thank you, Kalman. And we now go to the great LKZ, who writes, and I quote, "Hi, have you ever fired a gun?" Yes, I have. I many years ago, before I was a convicted felon. I'm not allowed to do it now because I'm a convicted felon. I'm not allowed to possess a firearm or to fire one. Your favorite? Oh, my favorite was always an Uzi submachine guns. Uzi submachine guns are my favorite. I think they are the most versatile weapons. I know that there are people who like, that some people like more powerful guns, but I think the versatility and the flexibility of an Uzi, even though some people say, well, nowadays we made improvements on different types of weapons. I don't know. I still think the Uzi is just a great weapon. And now LKZ writes, and I quote, "Your position on gun laws if you were in power, please," unquote. I believe in the Second Amendment. I believe that we should not restrict the rights of law-abiding citizens to bear arms. If someone is a law-abiding citizen and is not mentally unbalanced, they should be allowed to defend themselves and have a weapon. I believe that we should protect the Second Amendment, and I would want the Jews of Israel to be armed. I think Jews in Israel should have a right to be armed if they wish to. Of course, I wouldn't compel them to be armed, but if they wish to, I think that giving them the right to bear arms is something that we should do. And now LKZ writes, and I quote, "Any organization you recommend supporting besides JTF, unquote. Yeah, Ted Cruz for president. That's an organization. That's going to be a political organization. He's going to form a campaign, and he's going to have an organization, and it's called a political organization when a politician forms an organization. I know that the organizations we support, that we've supported, have all been political. We supported Mitt Romney when he ran against Obama, even though we weren't thrilled with him, but we wanted to defeat Obama. So we've supported political organizations. When a candidate forms an organization to support his candidacy, that's an organization. And we want people to support those organizations, yes. So I would say Ted Cruz for president would be the organization we would support. Thank you, LKZ. As far as organizations outside of politics, religious organizations and other groups, I don't know enough about them. I don't know enough about them to really make any recommendations. I just don't know enough. Thank you for the question. And we go now to Lewinsky Stinks, Dr. Brennan Rocks, who is, of course, a great JTFer. And he writes, and I quote, "Nazi Joe is the late and unlamented Nazi Joe Sobrin Yamashmo Vezichro, who 4 years ago died torturously of diabetes. Is Nazi Joe more comfortable now, or was he more comfortable in the end stages of his diabetes?" Unquote. Oh, he was more comfortable when he had the diabetes. You know, the torment of people who want to do terrible things to the Jewish people, what they wanted to do to the Jews, or to innocent, righteous Gentiles, people who want to do terrible things to other people, what they want to do to other people is done to them. That's the punishment you get in the next world. When you want to do something unjust and terrible to somebody, the same thing will be done to you. You'll be told, oh, okay, this is what you wanted to do to this person, this innocent person, okay. Now it's going to be done to you instead. So he's in a very, very bad place, that's for sure. And now Lewinsky Stinks writes, and I quote, "Pastor," quote-unquote, Heibels is a great friend of Slick Willie, unquote. Oh, well, that explains the anti-Israel and anti-Semitic attitude. You know, the Clintons, of course, are also anti-Semites, so, you know, doesn't surprise me. What surprises me is that people continue to call these people Christians, evangelical Christians. You know, if you really believe in the Bible, if you believe the Bible is the Word of God, how can you ignore the constant, repeated demands of the prophets that you support Israel and God saying that you have to bless the Jews and saying you must support the Jews and saying it's an eternal covenant and saying the Jews are the apple of his eye? I mean, how can these anti-Semites, these left-wing anti-Semites, pose as evangelical Christians? That's another mystery. And Lewinsky Stinks writes now, "Discuss Joel Horstein," unquote. Yeah, he's another one who, you know, he says, "I don't like discussing politics." You know, what a phony. What a phony. He just wants anything that isn't controversial. You know, if something is not controversial, it's not important. Discussing what type of tea you're going to drink at your brunch. The nonsense that you know, these people discuss, that is not important. It's the controversial stuff. That's the important stuff. That's why it's controversial. Anyone who shuns controversy, who runs in a cowardly way away from controversy, is a phony. Is a coward and a phony. And how can this person call himself a pastor and have so many followers, have a big TV show and have so many followers, when he doesn't have the guts to address the vital issues that face humanity? And that God commands us to be vocal on. Just a phony. And now Lewinsky Stinks writes, "JTFer EJA44 claims his Chabad rabbi is pro-BDS, unquote. Well, I mean, I know Chabad rabbis. I've never met a Chabad rabbi who's pro-BDS. So I don't know what this is about. I'd have to see the context of it. That's very surprising to me. Now, I've met Chabad rabbis that I don't like. Okay? Most of them I like. Most of the Chabad rabbis I met, I actually like. But I've met a couple here and there who I don't like. I met one schmuck who said, you shouldn't say Hillary Clinton is an anti-Semite. That's not nice. And Obama's an anti-Semite. That's not nice. You know, he's just a schmuck. But, but most of the Chabad rabbis I've met are nice people. So, I'd be very surprised if one was pro-BDS. That's the boycott of Israel. That would surprise me. Lewinsky Stinks now writes, "Discuss Russophile Jews," unquote. Lewinsky Stinks, there are Jews who love every enemy of the Jewish people. Doesn't matter who they are. If someone's an enemy of the Jewish people, they've got a Jewish fan club. Whether it's Arabs or Muslims or Russian Jew killers or Germans or the English, they got a fan club. Blacks, you see all the Jews that love blacks, despite massive black anti-Semitism for so many years. I mean, the huge, massive, overwhelming anti-Semitism of blacks after all the Jews did for them hasn't affected these Jewish leftists. They still support the blacks as much as ever. So, you know, you have a lot of Jews who are just insane. They want to feel like they're part of something bigger than just the Jewish people because they're frightened. They're frightened to just be Jews. They're frightened to be loyal to their people and loyal to their cause. They're frightened of that because they feel, ooh, that means we're such a small minority and so many people hate us. Ooh, it's scary. So, they try to be some part of something bigger. And the thing they want to be part of that's bigger, invariably, is anti-Semitic. It's usually anti-Semitic. So, what can I say? Thank you, Lewinsky Stinks. And we go now to our new friend Katnip, who writes, and I quote, "Why do leftist feminists and anti-capitalists support Muslim Nazi terrorists who hate women, Israel, and Jews?" Unquote. Great question, and the answer is because they're insane. They're insane. The Muslim Nazi terrorists want to cut their heads off, want to rape them and cut their heads off. You know, the feminists always are saying that men are touching them and attacking them and bothering them and raping them. First of all, the Muslims, the biggest rapists in the world are Muslims, Arabs, and blacks. You'll never get worse rapists and worse abusers of women than those groups, and those are the groups that the feminists all support. The feminists are always complaining, you know, about their husbands. Usually they're married to wimpy husbands that they smack around. You know, and then they complain their husbands are not adequately supportive of their rights if they're married. And a lot of course, most of the feminists are actually lesbians. But you know, they just have this hatred of men, but they're so gutless that they support Muslim men and Arab men and black men that brutally abuse women because they're gutless and they're hypocritical and they're sick. And they're just twisted, sick people. And the anti-Semitism, well, you know, the Jewish feminists are the worst anti-Semites. They're the sickest, worst anti-Semites. Very sick people. And the Muslims want to rape and murder all of them. They cut their throats in 2 seconds. All these ugly feminists, and usually they are ugly, the vast majority of them are so ugly, and they're always saying, oh, men are touching me, they should be so lucky. Men are touching me and harassing me. Yeah, they should be so lucky that men are interested in them. Did you ever see how most of these feminists look? What most of them look like? In any event, it's a sick world, and it's getting sicker. But it won't be like that forever. In the end, there'll be a redemption. I don't know if it'll be in our lifetime, but someday there'll be a redemption. So let's not lose hope. Thank you, Katnip. And we go now to our great friend, Manch, who writes, and I quote, "Starting, AskJTF had unlimited number of characters. Now it is just too restricting to ask an elaborate question. In my opinion, the length should be increased. Take poll," unquote. It's true that we had unlimited number of characters, and because of that, people asked unbelievably long questions and numerous questions, and it was out of control, and I just couldn't do the show. I couldn't do the show like that, and I can't do a show like that. This is a very long show, Manch, even with the limitations that we've placed on the number of questions. Without the limitations, I was doing shows that were over 3 hours. I know there are some JTFers, some great JTFers that love very long shows that want me to do a 3-hour show, but most people can't listen for 3 hours unless they're doing it traveling, you know. Some people do it, I know some people do it while they're doing exercise. I know some people while they're working out, they listen to JTF. Other people while they're traveling to work or to school, they listen. But a 3-hour show is a bit much, Manch. And that's what happened when we had very long questions. Now, you say we should take a poll. Manch, that wouldn't be fair to me, because I'm the one that has to do the show. We have given JTFers, we've always given you the option. of doing your own Ask JTF. We have a section on our forum, and the section on our forum is called Ask Posters Show Threads, where we allow you to put up a thread where you're going to have an ask program. You can start an ask program. Now, recently we had a lot of people doing it, by the way. You'll see there are a lot of people that actually did these programs. In fact, just this month, Mooman once again did an ask program. He's still doing them. So you can do an ask program where you get questions in writing and where you answer them in writing, or you don't have to answer them in writing. You can do what I'm doing. You can do an audio if you get the technology and you figure out how to do it like I had to do, you know, which is possible. You can read the questions and answer them like I do. You can do the same thing I'm doing. And we will allow, and you'll be welcome to post it. You'll be welcome to post it on our forum. You can invite people to ask questions. You can, if you want a show with unlimited numbers of characters to give people the ability to write as much as they want, you're free to do that, Manch. You're free to do that. You're free to start your own show and do it the way you want to do it. We give people the option of doing that. If you're a member of our forum, you can do it. Anybody who's a member of our forum is welcome to do that. Thank you, Manch. And we now go to the great Dr. Dan, the voice of reason, common sense, and logic, who writes, and I quote, a 9-1 celebration idea. Each anniversary, drop one bomb on every Muslim country in one random city. If we show mercy to the cruel, then you know how it goes, unquote. Dr. Dan, how I wish all Jews had 10% of your sanity. What a better world this would be if Jews just had 10% of your sanity. You make so much sense. And I wish more people had your understanding of the world, because you really do understand and you make a lot of sense. Thank you, Dr. Dan. And we go now to our great friend Maimonides, who writes, and I quote, Shalom Chaim, has the European Union become a tool for Germany to control Europe in a similar way that Russia dominated the Soviet Union, unquote? Great question, and the answer is yes. And many Europeans believe that to be the case. That's why you have a whole political party in England that has been formed to get England out of the European Union, because the European Union is controlled by Germany. Germany is the dominant country in the European Union. They bully everybody else and boss everybody else around. That is certainly true. And many European nationalists believe that. You also have, unfortunately, it's anti-Semitic, but you have a party in France that says the same thing, but unfortunately they're anti-Semitic. It also wants France out of the European Union for that reason. But there's no question that Germany dominates and controls the European Union. Absolutely. Thank you, Maimonides. And we go now to the great Da Vinci, who writes, and I quote, Abraham was 175, Isaac 180, and Jacob 147 when they died. What is the explanation of their high age? Unquote. Well, they were very righteous, and they had a lot to do in their lifetime, so God gave them a lot of time to do what they had to do. They were the fathers of the Jewish people. You know, God, we believe in Judaism that God keeps somebody in the world as long as they still have a mission to perform. When God believes their mission has to come to an end for whatever reason, then he takes them from the world. That's how it works. We also believe that when the Messianic era comes, that there's going to be Techiyat HaMetim, resurrection of the dead, and there's going to be eternal life. But right now, the way the world is set up now, we don't have that. And one of the reasons people live 70, 80, 90 years now, instead of living very long periods of time, is because when they lived for very long periods of time, there were cases where people lived very long periods of time. Most people who did were usually evil, because they They felt invulnerable. They felt they're going to live forever. One of the few things that brings people back to their senses is their mortality, the fact that they realize that they're going to die and they're going to have to face a judgment someday. But Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov in Hebrew, were the great founders of the Jewish people, the fathers of the Jewish people, the pillars of the Jewish nation. And they were given long life because they had a lot of important things that they had to do in their lifetime. Thank you, Da Vinci. And I want to thank everybody for another program that I very much enjoyed doing. Until next week, Shalom.